The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in and happy new year again to you. You know it, it's 2025. This is Speak Up and my name is Barbara. You know, I'm so glad that you're all here with us today because we have an interesting conversation coming your way with Idaho State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth. She is calling us today from Boise. Julie Ellsworth, our state treasurer, was elected Idaho's 24th treasurer in 2018, and she was re-elected for a second term in 2022. But what's interesting about her experience in public service is also she served in the Idaho State House of Representatives for 12 years. So she brings a lot of experience to the table for us and in serving the great state of Idaho. All right, everybody, stay with us as we get into information that you can use right now. It's time for our first break, and we'll be right back.
We here at the Pondere Winery are so excited for 2025. This year marks the 30th anniversary of the business, and we feel so blessed to call Sandpoint our home. The winery has seen its share of changes from location to ownership, but one thing has remained constant: our commitment to offering award-winning wines made with love and passion. We strive to provide a warm and friendly environment for our lifelong patrons, as well as those who cross our threshold in downtown Sandpoint for the first time. Wishing everyone peace, prosperity, and a very happy new year from all of us at the Pondere Winery.
For half a century, glyphosate has affordably and effectively protected Idaho farmers' crops from invasive weeds. Without it, the impact would be felt beyond the fields, hitting Americans where it hurts, our wallets. That's why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for farmers' continued access to essential crop protection tools so food prices don't rise even more. Get the facts at controlweedsnotfarming.com. Paid for by the Modern Ag Alliance in support of Idaho farmers.
Lenake Realty has a commercial property listing with a new price reduction down to $799,900. 350 feet of frontage on Highway 95 in Sagal, 3.28 acres and an approved ITD encroachment permit. Business ready with a manufactured home, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a small outbuilding, a barn, and a 40 by 40 shop. 1 Sagal water hookup included. Southern exposure and views of Baldy Mountain. See the professionals at Lenake Realty. LenakeRealty.com.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you, all of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner, so he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. Brave to 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
North Idaho's Radio News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. Join me as we say hello and welcome to State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth. Thank you, Julie, for taking time to be with us.
Thank you, Barbara. It's always nice to be with you on your show. You ask the good questions and it's
the meat of what goes on in Idaho.
I appreciate that. But more than the questions, you know what we love? We love your answers because you keep us informed. So let's just jump right in. Everybody, of course, is looking forward to the upcoming, or it's already opened, legislative session for 2025. So I'm interested in what you as state treasurer and your team, what are you looking at that may be coming that you like or might be something coming that you're not in agreement with? What do you have in that area?
You know, right now, things emerge throughout the session. And so I've had different calls about various funds, et cetera, and nothing really it has me that concerned right now and that it would impact the state financial well-being. I am working on legislation that would allow me to contract with a consortium of Idaho 529 ABLE accounts, make an Idaho 529 ABLE account, so it'll be much cheaper for the Idahoans that access that.
What is that account? I'm not familiar with the 529 ABLE account.
It is set up in federal statute. It allows people with disabilities to have savings accounts. Currently, they are allowed to do this in the state of Idaho, but there's no place in Idaho, so they're subject to whatever state they set the account up in, and they pay a lot of high fees for the use of that. And just by joining a consortium, we'll be able to provide protections to this vulnerable group of people in Idaho. I think it's a good deal.
It seems like a very good deal.
Yeah. We are not lacking legislative enthusiasm for it. They made the policy several years ago, and now let's improve the policy and make it good for the state as well.
Does this cost us money, or is this just a red tape thing? We need to set up a better pathway for this benefit to our Idahoans with disabilities.
This will not cost money, and that is the beauty of the consortium. It would be based on the fees that the individuals accessing it use, but they will pay cheaper fees because of the consortium joining all the other groups instead of trying to have your own little group. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be helpful. It will not cost taxpayers, and it will be more beneficial to the people that access those accounts in Idaho. They're not going to have to go out of state and be subject to. Imagine if you had your account opened in Chicago. Who do you call?
Yeah, exactly.
So it will make it nicer.
Yes, indeed. You know, I was just, I had a thought that came in. When last we spoke, you were on the forefront working with other state treasurers about DEI implications and constrictions on our investments. And as you well know, there is a lot of movement now against incorporations and states against this whole woke, I'm going to call it, those are my words, ladies and gentlemen, DEI. How is that working out here in Idaho? At our universities or in your investments?
Well, you know, we made a lot of progress on that front. We got a lot of guidance in Idaho statute, and it's always good to have the policy of the state articulated in statute. Then we can worry about the enforcement. If you see a lack of compliance, then you can enforce it. But we got it so that you cannot let contracts out from any state entity or public entity to a organization that is boycotting our industries. We actually got that bill passed last year. Governor's signature and everything, that took about 3 years, but it is in place now. We also have a legislation in place now that does not, if you wish to be a depository of the state monies, you have to certify that you are not boycotting our industries. And of course, what are our industries? They're outlined in the piece of legislation. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's industries critical to our state, particularly ammunition manufacturers and, you know, all of the natural resource industries. We do not want to be doing contracts with companies that are woke and think that they can boycott all of our industries and then get our business. And that passed. We also, we've had some good laws pass in the last few years, and I am encouraged by the trajectory of the United States now in approaching merit over just merit for investments and anything that we're doing versus, you know, picking a winner or someone that you think fits the criteria that you're looking for. I'm very encouraged.
That is really good news. You know, I don't know if people fully understand the boycotting, but if you were doing a contract, say, with an XYZ company, and they would say, you know, we'll do, we will only do business with you, Idaho. Correct me if I'm wrong. We'll only do business with you, Idaho, but we're going to boycott your potato farmers because they are not hiring enough XYZ people.
Yeah. That's the type of thing that could happen. And actually, you know, there were contracts let out and which brought the issue to our attention, and those are being corrected. There is now a subcommittee group, ongoing group in the legislature just to look at DEI, which is a subset of this environmental social governance issue that I've been involved on. The DEI component is the social issue of it. And now the legislature has a standing, it's not a subcommittee, it's a standing committee that meets even in the off session to monitor all those issues. And, you know, we're seeing a movement in the United States of people backing off on that because it's okay to be whomever you are. And I also would like to have a meritorious person providing my operations in the hospital or management of funds, you know. We're seeing things scale back. The danger now, Barbara, is that, you know, you scale back on the term, but are you just renaming it? And that's myself and the other state treasurers, we are looking into, well, okay, you're saying you're not going to do, you know, environmental type things to filter us, but you're using sometimes the word sustainability. And so we're seeing what the net effect is of what they're saying. But we've seen movement, and it's all very encouraging.
That is really good news. Go ahead.
Vivek Ramaswamy was the person I worked with initially in this group, and he actually helped us draft the first piece of legislation that we were able to get through, which had to do with proxy voting for your investment funds. Mm. And as I see him now entering this DOGE phase in the federal government, I'm very encouraged. You know, I think all those things that we've met over as these state treasurers, I think they'll be elevated. And you're probably aware of the day one letter that we sent to Congress.
Yes, I want to talk about that with you in just a minute. I want to make sure our audience is up to date. I just say Vivek because his last name, I don't know that I always get it right. But he'll be working with RFK to a certain extent. Oh, no, with Elon Musk.
Right. They set up the DOGE committee, which is about government waste and looking into all these things.
Yeah,
and,
Department of Government
Efficiency.
That's it right there.
Yeah. I think they wanted the term DOGE, and so they came up with words to make them. But nonetheless, if the movement is that way.
And to have it at the federal level is very powerful because that can filter down with confidence through state treasurers, state legislatures, companies, corporations, and hopefully our university and college systems who really need
this. We are seeing movement on the university colleges stepping back from DEI in the state of Idaho. I don't have the list in front of me, but they've made public statements that they're discontinuing certain programs. And what you need to know as Idahoans is that you now have that standing DEI committee through the legislature, and they will keep track of that. This is the enforcement mechanism. We do not have our eyes closed anymore. We were very schnookered.
To use the technical term.
Yeah, that's an investment term.
Exactly. Banking all the way. Well, that is all good, really good news for us because, you know, yes, we look at other things. I was in a position of hiring at a big university, and you look at everything, you know, you don't just make it, but merit, what's at the top of your list is merit. Is this person qualified to do the job, ready to do the job, or are they trainable and flexible to do the job we're looking for, irrespective of whether it's a female or any other issue that you want to list. Good job. All right.
I oversee employees, I always think, you know, you care about any issues that go on with the employees that you have, but you also, your position as the person in charge is to make sure the position is being facilitated, that the job is being done. And, you know, I find it just fascinating that we got away from that. Mm. Because why else would you appropriate money for the state treasurer to do certain tasks and then have her come up with different ideas on how to filter it? I mean, you want the job done.
Exactly.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No. All good. We're going to get to return on investments, and that's just what you're talking about. I mean, I like you, Julie, but I'm looking at the bottom line on how our return on investments are under your tutelage. I have one more quick comment for you to comment on, and that is really good team leaders and managers like you hire strong people. Good managers are never afraid of staff that can take their position, maybe. You know, you want the strongest possible people. I know there are some people that try to look, I don't know, I don't understand it, look for a little weakness so they can dominate, but that's not the way to go. You want powerful, strong, intelligent people under you, and I think you have that kind of a staff.
I think that when I have my supervisory meetings, and you meet regularly, you know, once a week, mm-hmm. you know, you need to know, I view them my titans of leadership, and
yes.
I want them strong over each component that they are over. And I think the staff has great merit in the treasurer's office. They're doing great.
Excellent. Well, we've got a few minutes that we can get into this next topic, and then we'll carry on after the break. And that is what you've already mentioned, this day one action that you and at least 37 other state financial officers are lobbying and have lobbied our Congress in Washington, D.C. concerning our budgets and our debt. Give the audience an overview of what it is that you're asking Congress to do.
Well, you know, Barbara, we started working on this before the election, and then we decided to wait until after the election to get the message, now that we have a new push and ability to maybe accomplish these things. But what we want, I want to give you some facts.
Okay.
The Senate and the House and Congress both passed resolutions concerned about the deteriorating federal fiscal responsibility. I mean, we've been downgraded as a federal government. Mm. And it's not just concerned about money. It can actually be a national threat if a country pulls your borrowing. And so, you know, there's more to this than just treasurers thinking, oh, this is unsustainable, irresponsible, and dangerous. But those were actually the words of Congress. And so we're saying to them, yes, we are committed to raising awareness on this. This is what our letter was about, I think it was 36 of us. And here are the facts. In fiscal year 2023, so that was not last year, but the year before, the federal government collected $4.5 trillion. That's what you took in. And they spent $6.3 trillion. Okay, so that you spent more than you have. So that difference, you have to finance that, you know, you have to bridge that difference and do some, you know, like if you're doing your family finances, you would put it on a credit card. You would maybe try to underwrite some of the debt that you have with other loan processes. But the cost of servicing the debt last year in 2024 increased 30% from the previous year, a 30% increase in the chunk of money you need to use to pay just the fee for the debt. 30%. I don't even know how you could sleep at night with a 30%. So our service fee, just to pay because we get to borrow the money to finance our debt, is $1 trillion a year. And that is more than what we spend on Medicare or on the military. So just what we're spending, and that doesn't even buy anything except for the time, the use of money over time.
Exactly. It services the debt. I hope all of our listeners are getting this. These numbers, they get so big, they get a little bit beyond our ability to really grasp
how much a trillion dollars paying.
That's like your interest rate on your credit card this year is $1 trillion.
And it's more to put it in a perspective that I can grapple with is that it's more than what you pay for Medicare and the military.
So combined.
Well, no, not combined. I think those two
one
combined,
or the other.
Medicare is $839 billion, and the military is $820 billion. It doesn't even reach the trillions, but we're paying for debt just on more than those entities. Exactly. And the national debt is $36 trillion a year, and it increases $2 trillion every year if we just service it.
So for people to understand this, day one, you know, I think people always think, oh, pay down the debt. Well, the first thing you have to do is get rid of the unbalanced, like this $1 trillion a year that right. we're paying to China, and I don't know who, for taking their money so we can pay for our military. We have to get the budget, the annual budget in balance, and only then could we begin to even think about paying off the, what'd you say, $35 trillion in debt. I mean, okay, we're not even paying off the debt yet. We just got to get to a balanced budget.
So here's the reality of what happened. In 2019, the money that we have taken into the United States government this year matches what we spent in 2019. So, wow. You know, that helps you gauge. Now, what happened between now and 2019? Well, it was COVID.
Yeah.
And the escalation in spending, it increased 50%.
Yeah, ridiculous escalation, I would say. But, that's me saying that.
And it is more ridiculous that it continues because mm-hmm. we are not living through the COVID era.
Yeah.
So if there, our ask for them is ensure that the total of the 2025 budget will be less than the 2024 budget.
Okay, you know, hold those good thoughts. We're up against a break, and I want these three things, what you're really asking for, what action you're asking for, to come through to our audience loud and clear. So let's take a break, Julie. Everybody, okay. Stay where you are. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yes.
Winter weather can cause some out-of-the-ordinary things to happen to your auto glass. Side windows can get off track. Windshields can be cracked by road debris. And, of course, there's rock chips. Thank goodness for the experts at Specialty Auto Glass. They repair all kinds of window problems, and they have the Aquapel treatment that improves visibility. Whatever winter throws at your car windows, visit Specialty Auto Glass, your auto glass experts, at 600 Schweitzer Plaza Drive in Ponderay today.
Say yes to a healthy new year with a YMCA membership and make your Y the place to get healthy. At the Y, there's so much more than fitness classes, pools, and gym equipment. There are programs that support the whole health of your entire family. And right now, you can get started with no join fee, up to an $88 savings, and no contracts. The YMCA is a place where everyone belongs, and wellness is more than just a buzzword. From swim lessons and activity spaces for youth and teens to yoga and pickleball. Check out everything the Y has to offer by visiting ymcainw.org. When you add it all up, a Y membership delivers exceptional value month after month. And now with expanded weekend hours, there's never been a better time to join. Make the YMCA your place too. Visit ymcainw.org today. Prorated membership dues apply. Offer good through January 31st.
Happy New Year from your friends at ProX Home Center. Have a new project you want to tackle? Let the experts help you. From paint to lumber to tools, there's nothing they can't handle. And did you know ProX delivers? That's right. Whether it's lumber, landscaping materials, home building supplies, doors, or windows, they'll get it to your door. ProX Home Center, serving Boundary, Bonner, and Lincoln counties. ProX Home Center, your hometown everything store.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
97.1.
Everybody, welcome in. We've got it going on today with State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth. And before we took the break, we were talking about, Julie was talking about this effort by not only her office here in Idaho, but 37 other state financial officers are lobbying Congress and Washington, D.C. to do something, imploring them to develop and implement a long-term plan to remedy, to come against our nation serious financial difficulties. And boy, what a big job. But really, it's got to get started. It'll be years and years and decades of getting this straightened out, and they have to get started. What is the action that you are asking them to do?
Okay, so, you know, both parties are responsible for this spending, so everybody can be on board to try and fix it. And you're right, it's a generational thing that it will take to fix. But yeah, we have the celebration of America's Cisco centennial, you know, the America 250 celebration in 2026. We want to put fire under this idea and try to have a national financial restoration plan by 2026. And those action items would be to ensure that this fiscal year, 2025 budget of federal spending, is less than the 2024 fiscal year, just less. You know, we're not even saying, you know, just try to spend a little bit less than 2024, get in the habit of this, implement a concrete plan to put the federal government on a path for a balanced budget. I the National Financial Restoration Plan, you know, have something that's measurable so that when you create a plan, then you get people to buy into it. Already the Senate and the Congress and the Senate, they have said, we have a problem. Well, let's get a plan that you can buy into. And the third thing we want is we want to see cutting of red tape.
Oh, yeah.
So that we can unleash the nation's vast resources. And you know, when you unleash the economy, then you create money to help. The growing economy will create the funds needed to help pay off some of these concerns that we have. Every year, I go in front of the rating agencies and secure a credit rating for the state of Idaho. It is imperative that we get our spending under control. Eventually, if we don't, the stability of the dollar being replaced with another reserve currency, or losing your status as a global leader, you know, these kind of things can happen. And, you know, I think I'm on board with my Senate and congressional delegation, because they certainly want to see something improved. And then the creation of DOGE is already kind of taking these ideas. So that's been since the election.
That's powerful. Yeah. I want our Crapo and Reich and who's the other guy? I can't say it. Fulcher. I want them on board with you.
Are on board.
I want them to vote. I don't want them to find wiggle room or problems. Just go for it. Get this started. Because just what you said, really well said. Generational. This is not something that's going to be easy, but we have to start and get this under control. And I also like what you said, Julie, that this is not something you think, oh, it's in Washington, it's something to do with. No, this is us. This is going to affect our financing. So that gets me to a question that if the federal government will, and I pray that it will, make serious attempts year after year to slow down debt and begin to tighten the belt, so to speak, how might our federal funding from Washington here in Idaho be affected?
You know, it's always a question of priorities when it comes to appropriations and federal funds. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we would heavily lobby and try to be part of this process so that things that are important to the well-being of the state of Idaho do not get negatively impacted. But, you know, Barbara, that is the reason why it is always difficult. Having served in the legislature, it's always difficult to try and put restraints on what you're spending. You feel like the parent that has to say no.
You know? You are the parent that has to say no.
And it's much easier to just say, okay, have this, you know. I mean, it is not an easy task. And I feel like a partner with our federal delegation. I do talk to Senator Crapo's office frequently because he's got a lot of seniority on these issues in the Senate, and Senator Risch. I mean, all of our congressional leaders are very much supportive of this, but you know, it needs to be an action item that they vote on. Like, here's the trajectory. Here's something we can measure.
Yeah.
We can measure that we spent less in 2025 than we did in 2024. Those are measurable things. And measurable things become benchmarks, and they lead to success of a goal.
I agree.
And
I also think that I know these are things we like to hammer on, or at least I do. And I know they're not the biggest part of the budget where they can really save, but I would like to see them step back from salary increases. They have huge salaries, their insurance benefits, retirement benefits. They've got staff galore. I would like to see them actually taking steps to tighten their belt. You know, Trump, just one little thing, it wasn't that much, but he never accepted his salary as president. I would like to see more of our people who can do that and just lead the way for more fiscal responsibility.
I like the idea that we are paying for the upkeep of empty buildings in Washington, and people need to be to work, you know, and let's see what that does for productivity.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
All those things go to the bottom line, and to examine them and to come up with benchmarks. Like, we have this goal here, so in this quarter of the legislative session, you know, what things are going to harm that trajectory is what we're asking.
Yeah.
You know, get people, and I do see some people coalescing around ideas, and it's always hard, you know, to do that. I don't fault either party, but that's for this year, I won't fault them. And then if they don't want to do anything about it, then I will fault you.
I agree. Everybody wants to protect their patch, whatever it is. But on the other hand, you know, Americans are very smart. I think Americans have so much common sense. Almost all Americans have common sense. And so, yeah, tightening the belt means there are going to be some cuts, and there's going to be stuff that you've gotten used to that you're not going to get. It's going to have to go away. It's going to have to be less. Well, anyway, congratulations on that. You were ahead of the curve on this with your other financial officers, so thank you for continuing to lead the charge. You know, you mentioned investments, so this is kind of a big question, but what is the criteria? When you look at investments for the state of Idaho, what are some of the things that you're looking at, and how do we invest our money here?
The first thing you have to do with investments is go to the Idaho Code. And I've been authorized to do that through the Constitution and handling the money of the states. And most of our investment laws and procedures are in Idaho Code 67-1210. It becomes my best friend, that section of code. And the legislature is very prescriptive in what I, as the treasurer, can invest our short-term funds in, what type of investments. They need to have high ratings. And, you know, I can't do junk bonds is what I'm saying. And most of what the treasurer's office manages is essentially the checkbook of the state for that year. You know, so the dollar that comes into my office at the beginning of the year will be spent by the end of the year. And then we start the next calendar year. So I don't have 30 years in that investment pool to work with. I need short-term investment that will produce security and allow us to make a little bit of earnings off of money as it flows. You never want money to just sit.
Right.
When money moves, it's earning things, or people are being paid from it. So, you know, the money doesn't have the ability in the state general fund to go beyond the fiscal year. So most of those are treasury bonds, treasuries and securities that are highly graded. And then we have the art in investing in the treasurer's office, because we've been given what can be invested. Again, that's in Idaho Code 67-1210. And there's a board that oversees us, and we bring our suggestions to that board about how we want to, and they help us decide on how to weight the investments. You know, you don't want to be overextended in one area versus another. I mean, it's just good investment principles.
So just a moment, are these investments different from the short-term funds that you were talking about that need to be, how would you say, accounted for just within the framework of the year that you said art? Investing, or what was that?
Yes, these are the short-term funds.
Oh, okay. Still short-term. Money, okay.
Yeah, money you never let it just sit.
Right.
Because you can be earning interest off of it. And to that point, the Treasurer's Office earned $535 million in interest earnings last year for the monies that we were managing. While they're being pooled somewhere, you know, the beauty of this is that leverage yourself so that you're earning money off of your accounts. And anytime you see return to the property taxpayers, all those things, if the Treasurer's Office had not earned $301 million in interest earning last year, would there have been $301 million to give for property tax relief? You know, for me, money's money, and you should manage it well. And so all of these funds, I have the investment division. They have policies for what type of fund it is and how short it's going to be. We present those policies in front of a Treasurer's Investment Advisory Board, and we've hired professionals that evaluate how any fund that's being managed by a third party, you know, I have an investment advisor that protects me and the state on anything that's been happening out in a third party. So that's kind of how we do. Did I answer your question, though?
So you did. Excellent. Just to go over the numbers, because they sounded phenomenally good for me, a taxpayer in Idaho. So what's the total number of short-term or investment dollars that you have? And then do you have it for 2024? What was the interest that it earned? I heard $300 million. So tell us those numbers again.
Okay,
how much money was invested, and what did we earn?
Okay, in 2023, I don't think we have about $7 to $8 billion that this office is managing.
Wow.
And it fluctuates because of the way money flows and everything. So that's a big chunk of money.
No kidding.
And so you can imagine if you manage it well, you can further assist the taxpayers in helping them not have to pick up the cost of poor management. So that's the total pool. For local governments, they sometimes have us manage a pool of their monies, and anytime we have interest earnings in that pool that's managed, then it goes back to the local taxpayers, those interest earnings. Your question was, what is the total of all those funds under management, $7 to $8 billion fluctuating? Last year, the total earnings was over $535 million.
That is so awesome. That's so good. We're going to take a break on that. Good news. Good job.
Oh. Thanks, Barbara. We
like it when we earn interest, because just what you said, that this is money that can come back into the state and funds things that we need. Yeah, exactly. So, okay, we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Imagine hiring a carpenter to fix a computer.
Just a little whack should do it.
Or a plumber to fix your TV.
Think I found the leak.
Sometimes it's just better to start with an expert. When it comes to your car or truck transmission, get it done right the first time. Call on the specialist at Burnett's Transmission. Burnett's is absolutely the undisputed expert in transmission service and replacement. They've invested in the sophisticated equipment and certified training required to offer you affordable expert transmission repair. Cars and trucks, 4x4s and motorhomes, manual or automatic. When it comes to your transmission, turn to the specialist Burnett's Transmission on Highway 200 next to the Hoot Owl. Call them today for a free transmission performance diagnosis. 263-0589. You'll feel better knowing that the experts at Burnett's did the job. Or you could call your dentist.
Aha! Maybe if I just pull this. Oh, maybe not.
For many of us, a new year means New Year's resolutions. But when it comes to your health, what if you made just one? Establish yourself with a primary care provider at Bonner General Family Practice. Our providers can help you manage your overall health, treat you when you are sick, and be a referral to specialty care. But most importantly, they are committed to becoming a familiar face, creating trust and comfort when you need it. Call 208-265-2221 or visit bonnergeneral.org to start your new year on the right health track.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
News Talk 97.1, KSPT-KPFI.
Hey everybody, welcome in. We have a good conversation going on with State Treasurer Julie Ellsworth. And Julie, I want to take you to a new topic, if I can.
Okay.
And that's a couple of loan programs, and there are others, but there are two that caught my eye. But I want to kind of start this. You have to forgive me. I have got a concern about loan programs. I'm just not sure I want the state of Idaho to be a bank. You know, I know at the university, umpty dumpty years ago, we had emergency loans for students, and we had facilitated all federal and state student financing, called now, you know, it's student debt. And boy, getting this paid back was a heartbreak. It was just really hard to get these loans collected. We had some power, but we didn't have the power of, like, American Express or something. And so I'm just not so sure I want Idaho to be in the banking loan business. So correct me if I'm wrong.
I think that if that a feeling of a concern is not wrong, you know, and you are entitled to your opinion on this. There's lots of different opinions on all these different things, but ultimately I'm going to follow what the law says. And
okay,
this is what
good.
You were referring to. There is a program, the Prime Loans with SBA, mm-hmm. and that allows this loan potential, but it has not worked. It has not been used for years. And I'm going to just tell you a little bit about the Idaho Prime Loan Program. It hasn't been utilized in years. The premise of the program was for a cooperative effort between the Idaho State Treasurer and the Small Business Administration and the banking community. So that was the premise behind this law, which is still on the books. It's still legal to do, but I have not done it since I've been the treasurer. And this is the flow of it. The bank would make an SBA loan to the borrower, and then my office would purchase the SBA guaranteed portion of the loan from the bank, thereby freeing up more capital for the bank to make more loans to small businesses. That was the premise. We have not been doing that. I share your concern with oversight measures for anything like this. There are different programs that the legislature implements for charter schools. I am very supportive of charter schools. And when you are borrowing off of the moral obligation of the state, you will have me as the treasurer in there every meeting asking for the criteria of accountability and those types of things. It's good to, when the legislature makes these decisions to implement these programs, I think that you need to move slowly, especially if it's new territory of making loans. And I agree with you. In my best world, I would not subject the liability to the Idaho taxpayers in that manner. And so, therefore, I guarantee the listeners of this in this audience that when those types of programs exist, I am such a pain. You know, we had one that, you know, I wanted to be able to have insight on the well-being of the borrowers, and I wanted a wellness check every year. You know, I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to ask.
Not at all.
And we did hire people. We got the correct policies in place to facilitate that. But to alleviate your concern over the SBA loan program, that has not been done by my office, and I would not lean toward even doing that.
Yeah. My next step on this, I don't think the federal government should be making small business loans. I think that's between an entrepreneur and a company and a bank or a credit union or a lending institution. I don't think the federal government should be in the loan business. I don't think they're smart enough to do it for openers. I'm sorry.
But the question I have is, who is the federal government? You know, what person is making those decisions? And that's where you always, you know, if
the bureaucrats at the SBA, that's who's making the decision.
Philosophically, you would want to have as many diverse locations for loans, those community banks. That's it. The more you split it up, the less likely it is for one person to be able to meddle with the whole thing.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I, along with the Department of Finance, you know, I've discussed this with Patty Perkins about how, you know, you want to keep those community banks in those different places healthy in Idaho. It's needed. That's where, but, you know, the big banks are needed too, because you have big programs that a community bank can handle.
We need both, just not the federal government in it.
Yes. So philosophically, where I come from is that when you start to make a conglomerate of power, you're going to have problems, because you have human nature that's going to be running those things.
Well, look at the fraud that happened with COVID funding. I mean, it's shocking. And I don't even think we're being told the truth of the fraud that was perpetrated during this whole COVID mess.
I think that there's a lot of dollars that, well, I know firsthand that there are a lot of dollars that local units of government have had to have us manage, because they can't, and they're not the ones with the fraud, but they didn't have places to spend it even. And that alone was concerning. It goes back to that 30% increase in what the budget was since, or 50% increase since 2019. You know, those types of things, the only way I think to rein them in is to structure things of real accountability. And that goes back to our letter that we first started with, Barbara. You know, if we could, by 2026, to celebrate this nation, have a glide path with measurable benchmarks, we're better off than we were now.
Yes. And we can, I mean, you are encouraging, I think, our listeners. We need to be in touch with our senators and our representative in Washington, D.C. And I've already made a list here to send an email to the Doge, to Vivek and Elon, to support them and say, you know, that's a good thing. I can't believe we're out of time. Next time we talk,
oh my goodness,
can you believe it? I know.
That's amazing.
Next time you're on, I want to ask you, because I have this question, like, I don't want your job. My goodness. What's it like to be the state treasurer? Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine what you're... I can tell you do.
I love my job, and I get to interface with Idahoans who... I look at every constituent of mine as if they were my dad, who would always say to me, "What the heck is government doing?" You know, and if I could answer it for my dad, I can answer it for you guys, and that's a compliment. I think of my constituents as my father. I quite like that.
Well, you did it today. Thank you again, Julie Ellsworth, Idaho State Treasurer, with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Come on back, everybody, next Tuesday, because my guest will be Kenny Moore-Carr. He is the personal trainer and the owner at Sandpoint Strength and Conditioning. Lots of different good ways for you to stay active. He's very interesting. We have a lot to talk about with him next week. So thanks again, everybody, for coming along with us today. Until next Tuesday, this is Barbara saying, please take care, slow down out there, love each other, and may God richly bless you, my friends.